talked to you, and he said, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. But this gets to be a routine if you're not with us. And so we ask you, great God, demonstrate your presence and the praise and the fellowship and everything we're up to tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless God.
Thank you.
realities that has come upon us is, and I use the word reset, and it's kind of important to, when you have a different script, to understand what your lines are. And we have kind of cheated ourselves by thinking this was an information program, and it was a human learning episode to a great extent. And whether people, you know, we might have said something else, but the reality was that we were nevertheless in a situation of primarily learning with the natural mind and not seeing some of the things that God has for us. And so we undershoot who we are. And you've been adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High. The Bible says that that the Lord himself is not ashamed to call you his brethren. And so we've gone over this point, but it still somehow needs to settle in a deeper way, in the sense of who we are. Because tonight, by virtue of the new birth, and I know this is, you know, sounds like repetition, but it gets missed so definitively in ways, because people still try to talk about the old man. And when the Bible says you're a new creature, a new creation, a new creature, all things have become new, we ought to believe that and move as though we did believe it and we're walking in it. Tonight, you're bonded with God himself, just as Jesus was, and you are sons growing. I know you've heard that, but to a degree, and I think it's a struggle for all of us. It certainly was for me, because the program called for us trying to do something, try to measure up to something, try to learn more, and then we necessarily would be in a better place. And that is all, God help us, it needs to be expunged. Because you and I have been birthed into the intention of God himself. And when we began to move and believe it, and this is why I love the word immutability. Immutable. It's a great word because it doesn't leave any room for unbelief. What God says is true. And if he says you're new, you're new. And, you know, it doesn't matter how I feel, my human analysis, my psychological background, what I've been through, and the immaturity, the outburst, the difficulty that are still in my life, things I see, are the immaturity of a growing son of God. And that's true for you tonight. You are in a growth pattern, a promise of God himself, a promise of the Holy Spirit rests upon you tonight to bring you into all that is not of God's intention. He's a burning fire. And so all the talk of fire can be overdone, and frequently the theologians try to do things. I love Karl Barth. I would like to have known him. And I was alive when he was around. But he was at the Rockefeller Center
It was a cathedral on the campus of the University of Chicago. And during his lecture tour of the United States in 1962, I was around there. And after his lecture, during the question and answer time, a student asked Bart if he could summarize his whole life's work in theology in one sentence. Now remember, this was he was considered the greatest mind theologically. Could you, Mr. Bart, Dr. Bart, could you summarize this in one sentence? And he said, yes. Yes, I can. In the words of the song I learned at my mother's knees, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That, tonight, it's an immutable truth. And when John the Baptist looked at Jesus, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you sit here tonight, and I stand before you, and what is the sin of the world? The primary sin of the world. The major sin is my pride. Pride of face, pride of race, pride of, you name it. My school, our school is the school. My relationship, the way we see things, it is all pride. And around here, we're captured in it if we don't see that God is against the arrogance that he's allowed us to have in this soul of ours. And he's absolutely wiped away all sin forever for you and for me. And that should be a heartbreaker. That should break us, break our hearts, because even after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've sinned with both hands. We know that. And we'll repent a little bit every day. I want to ask you a question or two here, because we need to really think about it and realize that as we come, you know, I kid around with people because of age, and I say, I'm coming to the end of the pier. Well, the Lord, I felt the Lord say, don't be talking about your age. Nobody's interested anyway. You don't know what's going on, which is true. But there's that pride. But we come to a place every day. And I want to ask the question, how is your offering going? Because Jesus, in his offering, the substitutionary offering that he gave, and the young people, some of them sit here, and they'll come up sometime, and somebody will ask them about the different, you know, what is this thing of the offering? And occasionally it'd be good to write it down. There's no way that I can stand up there, and no matter how much the anointing is there or how clear this is, I can't teach Christ. Christ is within you. You are a walking Christ tonight before God. And it ought to change the atmosphere, mine, yours, everybody's, don't you think? Because to a great degree, we've kind of made the heroic thing of Christ, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, and we've heard this, but the action of it is something. And so I say to you, how's your offering going? It doesn't have to be complex. I'll say it again, because maybe you didn't hear the first time, but it's a simple thing. You get up in the morning and you say, God, here I am. It's your day. Because his substitution brought you in the highest and most significant place you could possibly achieve by his power. He brought you to that capacity of his fullness, we've all received grace for grace. He brought you to that. Now, you and I have to be love slaves. Okay? Someone said, why, years ago, that, well, your wife just waits on your hand and foot. Yeah, she does. That's why I married her. I wanted a slave. That doesn't go well. It doesn't work, really. I mean, we are to serve one another. David says once, he says, I'm your servant. Like he wanted God to get it. He had to repeat it twice, thought maybe God wasn't listening the first time. But this is what we have become. Whether we like it or not, you only move forward as God establishes and directs that forward movement. I said something that's not true. Even if you go backwards, you learn. You go to hell, you learn. You say, I don't want to be here anymore. Addicts, I had an addict on the phone. You've heard me say this. Bill, please don't hang up. Don't hang up. I've got to talk to you. Please. And the guy did well. He got out of it, walked for a while, and then returned. So we're in a constant awareness that we are to be a forward-moving people because God is the director. We no more should be directing our lives. And everybody in this room can hear that, but we all have done it. And it demands a jealousy. I thought of that word because it's aeronautical. I think they jealousy stuff on the plane when it's in a difficult thing, or even in a ship. And God is going to touch things that you consider precious. Don't take away my precious stuff. And all of us, and I'm going to say this to the kids, and please, fathers and mothers in here, to the high school kids, particularly, junior high school. This is central. They've got to know this. Because they really do believe, and Satan has a tremendous power to make you think, and even you guys who are a few years out of school, to make you think that God is going to take all the wonderful things away, and that you can throw a better party than God can. And all God does is give you a muddy religious stick. That's the general run of what goes on among the youth. Now, I'm not making any accusations, but that's his program. Because we do not know how to give over what God doesn't like. Okay, now I'm going to look at a couple of things I had before. This is a little review, obviously. It won't hurt. You know, I'm going to try to keep my eye on you, won't be here real long. In Proverbs 3, you don't need to turn, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 3 and 4 talk about Christ. It's clearly a picture of the Lamb slain before and for the foundation of what we believe in. And it says, certainly in 4 it says, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. And then it says in Proverbs 3:15, she is more precious than rubies and all the things that thou canst desire. Now, think for a minute. All of us, not just the high school. Think, if you could have whatever you wanted, whatever it was, you could just say, okay, I want that. Now, there are individuals who, with their souls and their try to go out and get that. I looked the other day at who's the sepulcher, and I looked in his eyes, and I'd like to do a little more research. But he's a billionaire, and he's done some really stupid stuff, and not really filtering here, and it's not worth getting into it. But I looked at, because he was asked to turn around and apologize to some people. There were some suicides, some individuals, some young kids who had gotten on one of the websites that they sponsored. And I looked in his eyes, and Holly, who's a brilliant Christian senator, said, "You want to apologize? Turn around and apologize to these people, because there's a whole flood of people there." And he did. I looked in his eyes, and he was like, because you know, all those people out there get a chance. They're not our enemies. The ugliest of the ugliest, the most perverse, or wherever anybody you know is, you know, made their bed in hell. What did David say? He said, "Lord, you delivered me from the lowest hell." What is the lowest hell? Can I tell you, many, many in this room have been in the lowest hell, even actually or in thought. And so let's not think that we're so hygienic that we can't talk about that. Hell is a very, very functional place. God, keep it temporary, not permanent. We want it to be obliterated. We want the permanent. Your call, and I didn't really see this, but I just was running around with this in my head. Permanent. Our sister over there is holding to life, fighting for life, because the continuity of the transition is not clear. And somebody said today, we were talking, "Oh, well, God's put that in." Yes, but there has to come a time when we realize that this is not a friendly place to be in. It's not our home. And if we love what is here in the nature of theological, the parts, the music, all this stuff, and we have. I've been in love with a lot of junk. Some of you might have, or will be. But the Bible's clear. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Heavy. That's a heavy line. And so you're offering every day to be a love slave. And I said this the other night, it's important, it's vital, it's very simple. You don't have to be a rocket science to say, "God, here I am. Please give me your direction." You know, and it may be just somebody you haven't seen will walk along and they've irritated you, and you kind of close them off in your mind for some dumb reason. We do that, don't we? Thank you, both of you. We do that, and I may have told this story, but I was sitting in there at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:35, and I was praying and going through things, and I look at people's faces when I pray. I remember what they look like and what happened, and I was talking to God, and the person that I had been praying about, one of the lot, and I had been asking God, because I thought there should have been a more formidable exchange, because I'd known the person. I'd served, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'd been back and forth socially. And just as, I had said that, and they came by, the person came by, didn't say a word. And I'm sitting there in prayer, and this is my prayer reaction to God. You know, and I thought, you know, because I've told you, you need to be honest with God. He knows when you're not the little cocoon darling saying, oh, everything is wonderful. You know, you need to cry like a child. You need to tell God. And when you blow up, sometimes it's a good thing. You see yourself and you get a good picture of what you need to work on. Anyway, I may have said this to you, but I thought, and about 35 seconds later, the person came to the booth and said, hi, Brother Bill, how's it going? What's happening here? And that's really all I was kind of looking for, is a bit, because I didn't know what else was going on. And do you think the next time I do this to God, it will be the same? God sees every twitch. The hair on your head is numbered. He knows what you like, what you don't like. And so does Satan. Satan knows how to breadcrumb you into that which you have overcome to some degree. And you say, God, I don't want to go back to judgment, to criticism, to my explosions. And so he'll touch those things because he's your father and he loves you and he won't stop loving you because you're a nasty little crib kid, shaking the crib, shaking your fist, going your way. He'll run you down. And you've heard me say that and believe me, it's true. And the word is pretty clear on it. So it's important for us to see. But to be talking to God and then be upset with God, I don't consider that a proper approach to God. You know, I don't know what the angels thought. They go, oh my God, there he goes again. But the reality is, God cares and is going to talk to you in language that you can understand when you need it. Now, I'm going to say this. I was going to say it a minute ago, but it's vital. This is vital. These church services can be ultra boring if you're not on spot with going forward. Okay? Because until you have an intimacy and a record with strength from God himself, that nobody can talk you out of. Because it's still tough. Because he asks you to do stuff, and I've been lift a big dumb mule. I've said, I don't want it. I won't. I don't want to do that. My wife says, you must. We're responsible. And I said, if you say responsible one more time, I'm definitely not going to work. But, you know, I mean, people, we are who we are. And if you kid yourself and don't own who you are, you lose ground with the understanding that you have a Heavenly Father, that he knows every move, every twitch, every retreat, every aspect, every love story, everything about you. And he is for you, and he's for me, he's not against me. If we don't come to terms with that kind of immutability of his truth. See, you're the seed of Abraham. Abraham, you know, he had to wait around. God didn't do this. He's not your servant. You can't just click your fingers and say up front. And anyway, so we're going to look at a few things, and I'm going to watch the clock as I can, but I want you to know that no matter what you could conceive of tonight, that you would think, oh, if I just had millions of dollars in my own plane. There are many times I wanted my own airplane or a helicopter. I mean, I remember Steve Faust said, I think I want to be a helicopter pilot. It would really be helpful there. And I said, yeah, that's right. That's a good thing. How much is a helicopter? Oh, no. We couldn't even get a kite. It was very expensive. But what you have working within you, if you believe it, is more precious than any desire you could conceive of.
Yes.
And some people get this. They get it, they offer, they move fast. And I'm not going to make comparisons. I dare not, because I know where I've been. I know I have been just as capricious and unending in certain things of my desire, what I wanted, or just being confused about what God was all about. But I want to tell you something about you that you need to know. I'll read it, and it's true. And I've read this maybe before once, but I want to read it again. The chief condition on which life, health, and vigor depend on is action. Now, everybody in the room knows that if you, motion is lotion. I look at old people, and if you get to a certain age and you absolutely quit moving, you can't move after a while. You'll go to bed early. They'll be waiting on you before you fold, really. So, action, motion is very significant. Every doctor will tell you that. But do we do it? Well, I'm a little tired today. It's been a rough day. I've gone here and there. It's health, vigor depend on action. It is by action that an organism develops its faculties, increases its energy, attains the fulfillment of its destiny. Now look, I'm not bragging, because I'm just as couch potato oriented at times, and I don't like my love of ease. But I know this, that when I get up and I start to move, and I move with a little more aggressiveness, I have no business taking a trip unless I'm up and moving. I have to spend more time on action, physical action. I don't like it. I like reading, I like the counseling, I like the people that I talk to, but it is necessary. And you, if you're not taking action with Father God and giving Him full control. Someone said, well, why do you hang around with this guy or that guy? And I said, I hang around with them because they're all in. Don't kid yourself. You hang around with people that are withdrawing, that are constantly critical, that don't see the frame and the wonder of all that's giving. You will go backward. And I really believe more and more that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I know that we weren't taught that. I think you have to give everything that you are every day to God. Have I done that? No. Do I want to do that? Yes. Can I do it on my own because somebody said I should? No. I have to say, God, I can't do this. Not only I can't, I want to want. Somebody said to me, I thought it was a pretty deep state. They said to me, I don't like the fact that I don't like you. I thought, that's true. That's a good thing. Because there are a lot of things. God doesn't like the fact that I don't love everybody. And so somebody said to me, I would like to like you, but I don't. And that's fine. That's the truth. Okay? I want to read something to you here. Now, I didn't do this, and I'm going to covered them. I went a little faster on some things, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. This is essential. You must understand this, or you don't understand all the help that is available to you every moment of every day, if you would believe it and utilize it. And you could read the whole thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with 27, it talks about God hasn't chosen, he's chosen the foolish thing, not the wise, not many wise, But then, in verse 30, he says what is essential to you. But of him, this is, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm going to read that again. And if any of you are there, read it with me together. Verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. In other words, the arsenal of going forward is the Christ that you are and the power that is in your dependency on Father God. He has the direction. If you believe in that direction, it's the greatest enterprise. There's nothing more valuable to you or me than to know that when I walk into a situation and I don't know anything about it, God will help me see or caution me or check me in a way that is helpful to me, to my growth, or to help somebody else. And if you don't know this and don't utilize that wisdom, you know, you'll fumble around, you'll get on the internet, you'll say, what does Irving think? And, oh, maybe Stella, she reads a lot. You won't get help. Your help is from on high. And it's right under your nose. It's in your lips. And you can call that kind of wisdom from God himself to help you in everything that you need. All right. You're not listening fast enough. You've got to pick up listening pace out there. Let's go over to, because what we're in is a love relationship. You know that by now. I mean, isn't it good? Don't you love Romans 8 there where it says nothing will separate you from the love of God? Is that good?
Yes.
Nothing. No matter how nasty you are, God will get a hold of you in a way that you've never seen. You know, he has ways. I've seen some of the things, the causality. I don't like to talk about or think much about God's cause. And I think the hardest program that God ever put on man was that quail. I can't think of anything worse. I mean, even a Russian prison would be better than 3 days in a whale. Can you imagine the close program? Anybody ever thought about it? That is ugly. I think. Okay? So, you and I have to really get an understanding of that. All right. Now, and I want to go to 1 John because I want to talk about this love relationship that we have when it's confronted or there's a crossover in fear, it debilitates your response and your day if you don't realize that God himself is initiating and moving to help you. Let's look at 1 John 4. We'll start with 15. Let's start with verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Now hold it. Is that good?
Yes.
We talked about never-ending love. That is a, that's a great line. Now, John was 90 years old when he wrote it. He had been through a couple of things, would you say? I have a little question about him being involved in oil. I don't know. I don't know who saw it. It may have happened. It doesn't matter. The point is, he was the Son of God, and he and his brother were nasty guys in the beginning. They were delinquents, worse than anybody we know. They wanted to call fire down. But he's talking here, and he says, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwells in God, and God in him. And so I would have to say, for this community, we could really upgrade in the love relationships we have for one another. There's tremendous servants here. There really are. There's beautiful people who day after day, year after year, are carrying the thing. I mean, their kitchen. I don't say, I wonder what, you know, what it, will there be any food today? You know, and it's wonderful. But I'm telling you, there's room for us to expand the frame. And if there's, you know, you've heard me say it one time after I was preaching about, I don't think there's anybody that I don't love now, because I knew it was an order. And then the Holy Spirit showed me a couple of people that I, you know, and I, you know. But there are some things you have to work on and kind of adjust, because God doesn't mind using a red pencil in the middle of your message. Okay? Now, he goes on here, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, that is an immutable promise. You sit here today with the glory of God on you. And as he is, so are you in this world, if you will get up and take some action to say, God, here I am this morning. So God help us to understand. This isn't just going to come down like bees pollinating. We have to at least move to our God. We have to tell him it's impossible. And the more impossible it is, the more we get the picture sometimes. And he shows us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, how do you overcome that? You'd say, God, this all sounds good. It sounds too good to be true. I know what I am. I know how I've lived. I know my critical heart. I know my explosions. I know my appetites. I know where the devil has breadcrumbed me and the stuff that I shouldn't be doing. There's no way I deserve it. That's true. Get that straightened around quick. It's true. You don't deserve it. There may come a time when God will say, come forward. Come forward, because you've walked worthy. This is not a cakewalk, a taffy pull. We're in the most significant, abounding challenge that mankind has. Creation, you know, put your ear to the sound of creation. They're crying. They're babies being aborted. There's murder in the streets. The circumstance is as crazy as any generation. Certainly we're starting to match wrong, would you say? And what's there? So we have help, and the help is sure. It's definite. It's not perhaps. And I think that's where that word came to me when I heard it about prominence. I like the word prominence. I haven't adjusted to there won't be any marriage or getting in marriage in heaven yet. I got used to Agnes Elizabeth, and I wanted to keep her for eternity. I don't know what God has in mind. I'm sure it'll be good. But he didn't ask me. He didn't ask you a lot of things that he did to you. I would have made myself about 6'3", blue eyes, you know, run 100 and about 2. Better than, we didn't make ourselves. He likes what he's made. And his love is there. And sometimes he has to love you, you know, it's like I think the nurse said, she wasn't a nurse, she's a Catholic nun, she said, God, don't love me so much because of what was going on. Do you folks, how many folks are in here? Could you raise your hand if you skin foxes? Just anybody in the room. Okay, please, hold them up for a minute if you did. Okay, not many, right? That's a bygone generation. So I can tell you a story that is very interesting. We went out, David and I, and we had 500 foxes on this place. We had cages and everything. And we went out to buy animals. We went to Canada. We went into Wisconsin. We bought the best looking fox. We spent $1,000 of hard money. We didn't have a lot of money in those days, but we wanted a good breed. We brought the fox home, and the fox didn't like girls. We were afraid he was one of those foxes that the girls came around, even though when they were in need, he would run from them. So we lost $1,000. And then we got a couple others, and they didn't work out so well, too. And one day, I got a call from David, and he said, Bill, this guy called me, and his name's Drover, and he wants to make a trade with me. And I said, what? Yeah, he wants to make a trade. And I said, well, and he said, what should I do? And I said, well, don't cheat him. Don't give him our best stuff. Let's be fair. Look at his animals and say. And so this guy came in with two foxes, and his name was Drover. How many remember Drover? Anybody? You don't? Okay, well, I'm old. Anyway, that goes way back. Anyway, the one fox would nuzzle, and he would pet him. He was just right there. You know, we never did that. Ron was the meanest guy we had out there, and some of the foxes tried to resist Ron. And Ron got so mad one day, he just grabbed the fox by the neck himself. And had it. Because he wanted obedience, but Fox didn't know what Pennsylvania does, so he couldn't think. Anyway, what happened is this guy came here, and we traded him two of our foxes for two Norwegian foxes. Okay. So I was on a trip, and we did some breeding, and I came home one day, and I was down there, and we electrocuted the foxes. And I looked in the bin, and I was outside, David and the guys were inside, and I looked and I said, oh my God. I pick up the fox, because they were dead now, and I look at them, and there were beautiful animals. I said, David! I ran in and said, David, what are you doing out there? We've got breeders that you killed. I mean, those are beautiful animals. And he said, Bill, go in and look on the first line, the second line, and the third line. And I want to tell you, if you weren't there, it would be hard to believe. Every animal that Drover's pet fox bred, the females and the males, were beautiful animals. That's where we began to grow and do things. How did we get it? Drover walked up and said, here, God has the answer. We thought we could buy it. We traveled all the way to the East Coast of Canada and different places. God knows what you need, when you need it. And he is the great, he's Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. for you and for me. And that's what we need to get a hold of and not think, oh, well, get out of my way, I got to do this. Because from the standpoint of spiritual growth, it must come from God. But this fear works over the love relationship, doesn't it? And I was paralyzed in college. I just froze, I couldn't speak. My tongue stuck in the roof and I went something like this. And I just had to go through it, pray and do it. I didn't do it right away. But it says in 2 Timothy here, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, if you're going to say, I'm not worth the glory, the goodness, the free constancy of God's presence, you're an unbeliever. And I told my friend Gary Vance, he said, I lost hope. I said, Gary, when you lose hope, you lose God. You need our hope. We don't see it. If we saw it, wouldn't be hope. But we have a great hope, and we have access every day to our King. And on the way, He confirms His care. He has brought us here. He has made us extraordinarily wealthy people. There's not a one of us in this place that probably would have done this by ourselves. There are some who could have, probably. But so what? We would not know where we are. God is the one that made that provision. Are you afraid today? Does fear work inside so much that you have to take charge of your life? And you really believe inside that you know better than God? I have. I've lived too long that way. And I said, God, I can take action with the impossibility of what I can't do, knowing that you can do because I ask you and I'm willing to go through whatever you ask. The room is filled with circumstances here tonight, difficult things that you can't get through. You won't get through without the help of God. Our sister over there, and I can't, like I said the other day, please, let's continue to ask God to give her the continuity and the desire to be with the Father, and that He will be close to her in this process in very measure, because He's that way with you. And we go our way some days, and then we don't give a cow back over our relationship with God. We've got so much to do. I'm so busy. I the program here, I've got to make a bid. I've got to go here, or this is happening. Or, Hawaii calls, or Cancun, or whatever. There you are. I don't want to stand before Him. I'm already know that I've been up to me too long. And I'm fully given to my desire. My commercials. God help us. God help all of us. We start praying for one another and not be afraid that God has absolutely taken away all the darkness that you have ever been in or ever will be in because He's your Father. He has taken iniquity and separated it as far as the east is from the west. All right, I'm going to go. We're heading for home here now. Okay, we're not too far off schedule. In Psalm 116, you don't need to turn around, I'm just going to quote it. David says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. See, you won't know this. I mean, I love the early days of charismatic, the tongues, the breaking out, visions, and all this. I did, but I'm tired of merry-go-round because God says it's not the way. It's not the way home. Continue the circle is not the way home. We're leaving a lot of things behind. So, in this hour, the things that move you will be the offering you make with God, and there'll be areas where God Himself will do things in your life with people, with events, with your thinking that you've never seen in yourself. I've seen it. There are four or five people tonight. I've got to go to them and tell them that I can see that they've been negotiating with God in a new way. It's a beautiful thing, is it not? When you see someone whose countenance is a different thing.
Yes.
Well, this is downright boring if this is all we get. I want more of God. And you should too. And if you don't, it's because you're just happy to go along the way you have been. God can wake this family up in a new way. He can. And He is in place. There's good things happening. I'm not trying to be negative, but I realize that we can be so caught up in our understanding of what we're doing. I've got a fertile soul here and heart. I can think of a lot of things that interest me. And that provision up there on the internet, it provides. It's immediate with what you want. You want a song, you got it. I go back to the 50s. I go back to the 40s of songs. I'll be walking on the scene, some idiotic song. What's that from? Boom! Oh, the internet, it'll give it to me immediately. It feeds me. Satan is the big star. He wants you confident in where you sit. He wants you to have a palace of buttocks, that you will be a couch tatey rather than get up and run in the way you've never run before. And you can do that. And the run is, oh God, I don't know where I'm going tomorrow, but I want to go with you. And I'm tired of me trying to pull something off. Please help us. Please show me and ignite a fire that I have not known. I'm tired of the little campfire that we have. We either need a rip and tear from the outside, or we need something deeply working on the inside. And the Spirit of God is a consuming fire. All right. And I read this to you. I said it once, but this is true. He said this: the sorrows of death encompass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Where's your soul in the morning? You know, in Long Beach, California, they had a juvenile delinquency. It was so bad. They had a thing, and they would say about 9 o'clock, where is your child tonight? You know, and many times I had to say to them, where has my soul been all day? What captivates me? You know, that I need a jealousy. God help us. All right. We're closing. There's a great line, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. And when you come into Christ, you become a new man, new woman in Christ, and you know the truth. And I just want to ask you this tonight, and don't tell anybody, and I'm asking myself, where are you with the Lord? Where are you? Can you be truthful to God about the margins, about the indifference, about the yawning, about yourself? Where are you? And I know where I am, and I don't like it. I know that He can change it. But on the way, it gets ugly. And I said this the other day, but you have an outbreak in the middle of the day. Some of you give up on yourself because you think that God wants you to walk some high wire over Niagara. This is not that. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You are called, and I am called to go down, down, down. And we have to do that alone. If this isn't a party on the way, it's not anything we've ever seen before, and we don't know what tomorrow brings. Except ultimately, we're going to have a new body. And I look at mine sometimes, embarrassingly, and I'll be very happy when that comes. And it should be worth any effort, any giving of yourself to love God more than you love yourself. You need to know that, and I need to know it. Okay, I'm going to close here in Job, two lines, Job 17. And then he speaks in 19. My days are past, my purposes are broken. Even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The night is short because of darkness. If I wake, the grave is my house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, you're my father. To the worm, you're my mother. And my sister, and where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? That's not a very positive view, would you say? This was a righteous man under testing. And if you sit there tonight thinking that somehow this is going to be a smooth ride, we are crazy. We haven't read the book. It calls for us to lay our life down. And just because you're here doesn't mean you did it. Just because I traveled all over the East, people say, oh, Bill, you're something. Listen, I know what I am. And I want God. I want to own. The truth makes me free. Own what you are. This isn't a masquerade ball. This isn't costumes, folks. We will see. And to some degree, we already know. Listen to what Job said at the end of this. This is good. It's worth the wait. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's yours. Claim it for yourself, regardless of how God handles you. Your test is specific for you. He'll never test you more than you can handle. It'll feel like it's more than you can handle. But God help us tonight. We didn't come out here to build a community, have our children at our playground, our swimming pool. Just fold our hands and lean back and die of old age. God help us. God help us to enter in with a cry, oh God, I want to be a love slave. I want to love you with everything I have. We sang a song tonight, and we're not going to to sing anymore, and I'll tell you about it later. I'll check that spirit. But anybody want to know, I'll tell the worship leaders. God help you. Bow your head for a minute. Wouldn't make any difference how old you are. Lord, you know where we stand with you. We're clear we can't change ourselves. We can envelop ourselves with good eating and exercise and 100 methodologies. But we want the permanent change. Great. Be with every cry in every heart here tonight. Touch them. Let everyone know that they are vessels of honor, adopted children by God Himself. And He gave His Son. It pleased Him to bruise His Son and to destroy death. Be with us as we go tonight and give us a faithful heart that will take action in the areas where we need to be trusting people and wait upon you for Jesus' sake. And everybody says, why not?